heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, I will be the first to tell you. Listen, I'm a real believer in liberty. I absolutely believe we all should have liberty. We all should be able to do what we want, when we want, how we do it. Absolutely. Liberty for everybody. There are moments where we cross the line, and today is one of those moments. And it's one of those moments, and the bigger story today, people, is what is really on their agenda? What's on their agenda? How is it that they now got drag queens in the public libraries talking to the kids? No, I didn't make that up. That really happens. And, you know, if you've not seen any of the photographs, go to your favorite search engine and type in there that drag queens at the library and look at those fabulous pictures. And tell me this. Are these the kind of pictures you would put in your family photo album, possibly? Do you think these would be those kinds of pictures? Just go, whatever search engine you use, just type in public library drag queen stories and see what you get and see what you think of those photographs, yeah? It is a mind bender if there ever was one. What is really going on? And then you begin to think here, you know, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. It's called liberty for everybody, right? Rights. I've got my rights. What are your rights? Are your rights to put your sort of, is this an indoctrination of the children that we should allow? It just seems like they keep wanting more. I just wonder what's really going on here. There's got to be a bigger story, people. I mean, we have fallen far from the Leave It to Beaver days. I'll say, if you think back to Leave It to Beaver, imagine an episode where we turned on to that show one day, in a simpler time of life now, keep in mind, and all of a sudden somebody came into their home, to the Cleaver's house, dressed up as a drag queen, and was going to read to the little kid there, right? And I don't remember his name there, whatever it is. I know Opie was on the Andy Griffith, but whatever it is, and he's going to read to the kids stories. Or maybe Miss Cleaver dropped them off at the library, because at that point, that's all you had was the library, remember? There was no, there was no internet back then. So you had to do the library, that was for sure. And imagine, you know, Miss Cleaver dropped off the kid at the library. The drag queen walked in. Now, that'd be a hell of a sight back in the 60s, potentially, or the 70s, whenever that show played, right? Would have been one hell of a sight. And the kid gets, you know, read the book, the storytime book from the drag queen. Now, all of this is being done for sensitivity purposes. It's to make the kids like marshmallows. Let's call it that, marshmallows. So your next generation is going to be a generation of marshmallows. Think of it in those terms, people. You're going to have nothing but marshmallows everywhere, right? That's it. And the kids are going to be sensitive. But that's the same thing as we give all the kids a trophy. They all feel good. And so the kids were more sensitive today. And we've given them sensitivity training classes, in fact. So the little boys know how to be little girls, and the little girls know how to be little boys. What could possibly go wrong with that picture, people, huh? I mean, wake me up, Mom, please. I don't like this dream anymore. Turned into a nightmare, please. Somebody wake me up. The nightmare has gotten scary now. Even for adults, it's gotten scary. So I'd like somebody to wake me the hell up, because this program is getting whacked out by the moment here. So then you have to start to, as I say, ask yourself, what is the far left really after? Because, you know, what happens is this, people. Every time we give them an inch, they take a mile. You give them an inch, they take a mile. We want to women's rights. We want to abort the kids. Okay, cool. So now you've got the abortion thing going on. Now we want abortion for everybody. Okay, cool. We want Planned Parenthood. We want the government to pay for your abortion. Okay, we'll give you that too. Okay, cool. Now we want to kill the kids when they're born now. Yeah, just keep going and go. Soon they're going to want to walk down the street and just start shooting the kids when they're 5 or 6 years old because they don't like them. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. You scratch your head and say, what the hell is going on here? Well, you just keep giving the right just keeps, again, what I tell you all the time, the left is far smarter than the right people when it comes to these kinds of programs. It's either that or the far right. They've got their head up their backside so far, they don't know how to fight. I don't know. Which is it, people? Tell me. Tell me which it is. I don't know. But they keep wanting more. Same thing with, gay rights. Remember the gay parade? Everything was fine. And that's fine. You're gay. I don't have any problem with that. But why is it you got to bring that out into the public square? Hey, look at me. I'm gay today. Woohoo! Man, that's the thing today. You got to bring it. Yeah, and I want your kids to know I'm gay. Absolutely. And I want the kids to know why I'm gay. And it's like, everybody's got to eat the cereal now, the brand of cereal you got, because we all got to know the reason you're gay. It's like, why? Why? What's going on? Well, now that's not enough. So now we're going to have parades. We're going to have LGBTQ parades, and we're going to flaunt it. We're going to say, just a few weeks ago, I don't know if you've seen this, kind of funny actually, up in Boston, the straight people had a straight day parade, by the way. And then there was one scheduled for California too, which last I heard they nixed that and pulled that off of the calendar. I believe the Boston one came off, but I think the one in California, they trashed, but go figure, right? But now they're having straight day parades. I think people are starting to fight back. I think Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver are not happy. And I think they're fighting back, actually. That's what you're seeing here a little bit. And I think there has to be, people, there has to be a little pushback. Because when you take your liberty and you jam it down my throat so badly that I can't breathe anymore, and my values no longer matter because, we got marshmallows walking around, I think there's a problem then, people. You see, that's kind of where we're at there. So now we got, again, so back to the LGBTs, we had the parades and that was okay. And then you bring it into the schools and we want to flaunt it all. We're okay. Okay, got it. And everybody's got to bring it out there. I'm gay. Okay. LGBT. We got rights. We want our rights. Now we want, then transgender. Now we got to share the bathrooms. Hey, don't be a bigot, you racist SOB. Knock it off. You got to share the bathroom. Get little Johnny and little Sally to go pee-pee together in the bathroom. Yeah? Okay, so now they're going pee-pee together in the bathroom down the hall. Perfect. But that's okay. No problem there. Right? And now, that's not enough. Not enough. Get those drag queens out here and drag those kids' ass to the library. We're going to start reading to them at the library. And that should go over real well. You don't like that? Well, I got liberty. Too bad, so sad. Stick the liberty up your backside, fella. Wow. Think we're a little wound up on this one, people? I don't know what goes on next. We're all just going to be walking around bare ass in the middle of the road so we can detect who the hell we are or not. I don't know what happens next. What happens next? You tell me. Send me an email to liberty@americaoutloud.com, please. And let me know what happens next, because I don't have a clue what the next program is. But come on, people. It seems to me like anything goes. There are no rules anymore. And the definition of a liberty is going to have to be changed. We're going to have to change the dictionaries of that word, liberty. It is no longer my liberty and your liberty. It's the far less liberty that wants to jam it down your throats so that the world is full of marshmallows and we're all walking around happy, naked, and gay, and transgender, and reading to everybody. And that's called being tolerant. Tolerant. You see, let me explain all the words to you. That's tolerance. Got to be tolerant. You got to have liberty. Can't be a racist. Can't be a bigot. You got to grow up, people. Wow. It just keeps going and going and going. If you fell asleep right now and you woke up 20 years from now, what do you think you'd come back to? Remember the old story of Rip Van Winkle? He fell asleep. went to sleep. I don't know how long his happy ass, you know, kept asleep. But he was asleep a long time. I know that. And then woke up. And imagine that Rip Van Winkle story. What if we went to sleep right now? We woke up 20 years from now. You ain't going to recognize this place, people, I'm afraid. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Where do they go from this point? I don't know. Where does the, and you know, then, well, you know, you just know the left is calling me names right now. You know that. You're racist, Malcolm. You're a bigot. You're not a nice person. Well, actually, I am a nice person. I believe liberty for everybody. But I don't believe I need to digest your values of drag queens and you know, gay parades and other things that you want to flaunt because you have a different lifestyle. Now, I don't hold that lifestyle against you. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. I don't pay the price for your lifestyle, people. But I don't need to tolerate or accept your lifestyle either, any more than I expect you to accept mine. And if you don't like that, too bad, so sad. Change the channel.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So again, drag queens at the library, people. It's a day I always look forward to growing up as a young boy, and I just can't even believe we have these conversations. In fact, the conversations come in now, and I almost am not surprised anymore at what happens next. And the reason I'm not surprised is because they keep pushing. They keep pushing. They keep pushing. They want more. It is not enough. They want more. More, more, more. More liberty for me. Now, not so much your liberty. If you have other values, that's too bad. That's not their values. They want their liberty out in the public square. So, wow, just can't make this stuff up, people. Well, listen, joining me here, we've got two stellar patriots here to tear this thing apart, I believe. And, you know, this story of drag queens reading our kids at the public library have really pissed off a lot of people. And it's a story that makes its way to our front page on our platform fairly regularly. Joining me now here is Susan Price. She wrote a story not too long ago about this, and it was entitled Brainwashing and Grooming Young Kids with Drag Queen Story Hour at the Library. Amazing, huh? Well, Susan is an investigative researcher, a patriot, a veteran advocate, Gold Star mother, an amazing columnist here at America Out Loud. Sid Bowditch is here. Sid also has a column out, a new story called Miss Kitty Litter. That's her real name. Not making that up, people. The drag queen with a criminal record at your public library. Huh, this one's got a criminal record. Isn't that sweet, huh? And so Sid, well, he's got a book out there called A Rush to Judgment. A Journey with Trump, God, and Love. And the book describes an insider's view of running Trump's ground campaign across America, people. Susan, Sid, you've both been passionate. Others have been passionate on the platform as well about this topic here, about drag queens at the light. Now, when the story started to break initially, I really didn't believe the story. I thought it was more propaganda and a bit of a conspiracy, actually. I wasn't sure it was really true. Sid, you got a new column on this here, but it really is true. This Miss Kitty Litter, she really exists. Is that correct?
He sure does, Malcolm. And his name is David Lee Richardson, in reality. And of course, they use these innocuous, cute little innocent names like Miss Kitty Litter because how would that not relate to a little child? You know, they go, oh, isn't that Miss Kitty Litter? My kitty has litter, you know, and so they think it's innocent. But I'll tell you, it's a good thing my kids are grown up, because I'll tell you, if if I had a, of course, I'm concerned about my grandchildren, as many of us are that are older at this point. But, you know, if there was something going on in our town, my kids were growing up, and one of these, I don't know what to call them, right, were there. I'm trying to be nice here. They were there. And, you know, you see the picture in my column. There's a little child rolling on top of this guy on the floor dressed as a woman. I swear I'd lose my mind. And, you know, the Second Amendment would probably come into play.
Oh, boy. Well, it is a bit of a freak of nature. I mean, I think this is not, Susan, this is not normal behavior, is it?
Oh, geez, this is an indoctrination. to bring innocent children over to another way of life that most are not familiar with. It's a soft coup.
Soft coup, you call it? Yeah. I was going to say, let's talk about what's really behind this. Let's get to the meat of the conversation right up front here, guys, okay? What's really behind this? When you look at all of this, because, I mean, this is pretty outrageous stuff. Now, do you believe the people who are doing this, do you think, I mean, in their world, I guess this is normal behavior, isn't it, Susan? I mean, this must be. I mean, what? I mean, how do they look at this as normal?
Well, let me tell you, Malcolm, just from all my research, this type of propaganda, no matter if it's military, political, it's all a form of a communist, socialist, a one gender, one religion, one way of looking and doing things. And they don't want our children in the future to have other children. This is like the dumbing down of society and grooming them for satanic cultural way of living. And it's just, this is all part of that sect. And you see it time and time again. And it's all going to come out more. You'll see in the months to follow. But the LGBT, that's just a small group of people compared to those of us that are more Christian conservative. We don't want our children being raised this way. I've never in my life witnessed an all-out assault. Our children have become the most endangered species on the planet. Hmm. They want to eat our children, kill our children after they molest them. Hmm. It's disgusting.
Wow. That's a hell of a lead in there. Wow. I don't have a problem with, I have friends that are gay. I don't have a problem with somebody. I personally have no issue with it whatsoever. None. It does not affect me because it's not my business. And that's not the point or the problem. Sid, do you know what I mean when I say that?
Well, I do. I've always felt that way, Malcolm, my entire adult life. I have no issue with people being gay. You want to be gay, you do what you do in your house.
Be
so
whatever
forth.
You want to be, none right,
of,
Sid? Gay,
yeah,
straight?
None of my business. But when you want to make it my business, I have a problem with that. I don't need to know it. You don't need to tell me. You don't need to rub my face in it. But, you know, just like Susan said, this is all the teardown of society. You know, Marxism is on a march in this country. Do you know that 25% of our Congress and 25% of our Senate are Marxists? And that's a fact.
Wow.
And it's growing. And even the Pope, even this Pope is a Marxist. Yeah. You look at his comments about what Trump has done over the past few years, and he reaches out and he makes comments about it, how wrong it is, et cetera, et cetera. It's not his place to be doing that. He himself is a Marxist. The leader of the biggest church in the world is a Marxist.
Susan, you agree with that?
1,000%. I agree with it. And you can see it in everyday life. It just keeps escalating. These people are so creative. I mean, I don't know what they're going to come up with next, because I think I've seen everything. I've witnessed.
Well, hold on. We think we've seen everything, Susan, but it seems like we haven't, because it keeps coming and it keeps getting more. As I stated in the opening monologue here, Susan, they keep one upping us, right? They up the ante, don't you think? I don't know what happens next. Like I said, they're going to walk in beer asses. I don't know what happens next. We want to be, you know, no clothes. Everybody walks. I don't know. What is it? What can they possibly do next? I mean, sex in the street corner because it's their right to have liberty and get off in the middle of the road? I don't know. What happens next? Where does it go? Where does it end?
Well, thank God they're the smaller group of people, but they have grown since 2015 to over 35 chapters. In fact, Michelle Obama's California Library welcomed them in 2017. So, and what's so funny about that, it's not funny, but to look at it at the time, you're like, what the hell is a drag queen dressed as a satanic Baphomet doing at a children's reading center? Oh, it's Michelle Obama's. That's why. Michael Obama's. That's why. You know, I blame the last administration for propagating this stuff and promoting it, because this is when we've seen the most of it under the Obama administration. And I know I'm not wrong. I've been following this stuff for years. Everything came out of the woodwork. But, you know, we're fighting back. We are in our communities. And I have 7 grandchildren. I'll be damned if I see this stuff come into the communities where my children live. I will personally lead the hit squad on that.
Well, as I say, I said in the opening remarks to people that, you know, how does the right fight back? Because up to this point, Susan, I've seen a lot of people just don't fight back on. In other words, they keep taking it on the chin and they keep letting them do what they want to do. And, you know, because they, the far, far left, they are really good at calling people out against their liberties. That's why I use the word liberty to open the show up, because I think they've taken the whole meaning of the word liberty to a whole nother level. You know, Sid said something interesting moments ago here about the fact that, it's okay, whatever you're doing, you're doing, but don't make me have to accept whatever your value. In other words, we all have values, whatever they may be. Whatever your values are may be different than my values. Some people go to church, some people don't. Some people believe, some people don't. Some people get drunk Sunday morning, some people don't. Some people live their life out in the open. I mean, everybody's different. But here, you know, it's like, why is it they want to push their values and their lifestyle onto you? Why is it that that's so important to them? Now, I want to analyze that a moment. Sid, when we think about it in those terms, what is the real reason? Let's think about this a moment. Why is it so important to them to push their values onto you? Why is that important? And they can have whatever they want. Listen to me carefully. They can have their form of liberty and whatever that means to them. The Constitution gives that right. We understand that. Everybody's cool. But why is it so important for them that you have to accept their form of liberty? Why is that so important, Sid?
Well, I'll tell you why, Malcolm. Because they feel that because there's an innate discrimination against them by their friends, their family, their society. So they have to convince people that it's normal, and that's their agenda.
Right.
When we look at, you know, the means there, you look at the psychological reasons why drag queens exist, psychologists will tell you it's a means of self-expression of their own personalities, that in many cases they feel less attractive to potential males. So what do? They dress up as women. Now, when it goes too far is when they obviously, when they begin engaging it into children. You know, you go back to, where did drag queens started in the 60s and 70s during the sexual revolution. That's when this all started. Okay. And, you know, there was a movie in the 90s and, you know, many people have seen it called The Birdcage with Nathan Lane, Robin Williams, Gene Hackman.
That's right.
And it was a funny.
It was a funny movie.
It was a riot, but you know, and so when you keep this in an adult world, mm-hmm. it can be entertaining, et cetera, and it's not as offensive. When it goes wrong is when people, I'm telling you, I have to just bite my tongue here. These SOBs want to take it into a public library and engage with children. That's when you have to ask the question, why do these men want to be close to children? There's a very, very nefarious answer to that one.
Well, the point is, I said, your point is valid in the fact that this, dressing up in clothes like this and coming into a public forum does not appear to be normal to anybody, I don't think. I don't think that's normal behavior. I think we all can agree with that. I mean, we all grew up in whatever way we did, but we know that's not normal behavior. Come on, people. We all know that. So, Sid, to answer your question, when you have, as you say, men, and let's be sure, call them who they are now. These are men, people. They're not she's, even though I've referenced she is because of the names they're using. But these are men. These are grown men. These are grown adult men. Everybody get the picture? So these are men who are dressing up in these particular thing outfits as women and as strange-looking characters. And they're coming into the libraries to read story time to the kids. Now, the left says this is all for the point of sensitivity training of some sort. It's all about so that they will accept everybody in society. If you read some of their comments, which I have done, and some of their thinking, and I know you two have as well, it's all, that's what they say. It's not a bad thing, they're saying. It's just to make the kids more, well, as I referenced in the monologue, marshmallows. It's to make the generational, they make them all into marshmallows. So boys are girls and girls are boys, which is why you even have people today, by the way, that are now doing the whole gender thing. There are many parents even, adults, who are playing into the fact that they're not naming the kid if it's a boy or a girl for the first many years of the kid's life. They're going to let the kid decide whether they're a boy or a girl when they get older, to whatever degree it is. Now, this story as well is far out there. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how that...
I wrote about it.
All right. Well, I don't know how that fits in, Susan, but that's a whole other story too, where you, you know, they, you, they don't, they somehow don't want to acknowledge the person's gender. And they want to leave them to decide who they are. So that's the, listen, that is the new world order we're dealing with here. That's a new world order. You can now pick your gender, just like you can pick anything else. That's what they want. It's what they're saying. But Sid, to your point there, buddy, let me make this point here. If you've got grown men, like you say, it sounds a bit nefarious. You better believe your bottom line, it's a bit nefarious. If you've got a grown man dressing up like that and acting like that and coming into a public forum to read to my kid, does anybody out there really buy that? I mean, if you're listening, do you, anybody out there who believes that's acceptable behavior, email me, please. Let me hear your voice. That you think this is all cool and fine, that you would do this with your kid, you have no problem. Don't you first think that these men might have a couple of screws loose, or maybe they are perverted, or maybe they have some other agenda? I don't know what it is. I'm just asking the question, and maybe they don't. But how can that be good for your kid?
And Malcolm, they're trying to disintegrate the boundaries of innocence here.
Exactly.
We as parents teach our children, don't talk to strangers, don't let anybody touch you. That's not in a proper way. And here at these reading parties that they have, coming in, dressing up. And,
especially someone that looks like that, Susan. My God.
Well, and they have some of them allow children to crawl all over them. I would be, oh my God, I would take the first plane to Buffalo, New York, if I found out that my grandsons were attending the library and there was this event going on and they were allowed to crawl all over a hairy, big hairy man dressed as a woman or a clown laying on the floor. I'd lose it, you know, and definitely this would not be good for me. You guys would have to bail me out.
Well, that's what Sid says. I'd have to bail you both out, obviously, because you both have referenced now your Second Amendment rights, basically. And our Second Amendment is to protect our First Amendment. And our First Amendment is being violated, clearly, here. And the whole sense of what liberty means. You know, that photographs you just mentioned, Susan, I started by telling everybody, go to their search engine and put it in there. And put in the public library drag queen and see the stories. But Sid, the picture you have is, you know, I'm looking at the kid there. And of course,
there's
they have
kids.
A.
There's, There's two children lying on that guy.
Oh, there is two kids. I just seen
that. It's sickening.
I didn't see this. The kid is almost buried between the other kid. There are two kids on top. I see.
And you can only imagine what joy he's having.
Oh, my God.
Oh, exactly.
Oh. Right. Well, I hate to say, but you can almost see, I'm wondering if the man doesn't, I don't know if he, I what I'm going to say, well, I probably shouldn't say what I'm going to say.
Yeah, don't say it.
But I mean, in the picture, though, Sid, it's just the visual below the kids, and it almost looks like there might be
it does. It's sickening. It really
something
is.
That
it's,
looks
it's
a little off there, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's perverse. It's, disgusting and perverse.
Do the math, people. I'm going to look at that. But here's the thing, Sid, when you look at that picture, you know, I'm thinking now in a kid's world, you see, they look at this adult, back to what Susan was just describing as some hearing, they look at it as a cartoon character, Sid, you see.
Right.
They see these adults. They really, I mean, think about it from a kid's viewpoint. If you're 5, 6, 8, 9 years old, whatever it is, 4 years old, whatever, this looks like a cartoon. No, this looks like something out of a cartoon fairy tale or something. I mean, the kid is dressed in bright color. The adult, the man is dressed in adult, bright colored
clothing.
He looks like
a clown.
He looks like a clown. Fun. It's fun stuff, Sid, you know, right? I mean, the kid's going to like, so they're jumping all over the guy, and he's laid out on the floor with his hand. I mean, he's laid out. Wow.
I know. Well, fortunately, Malcolm, we are in some states beginning to form background checks on these.
Right.
These
on the drag. Hold on. On the drag queens?
Yes. Yeah. They're,
you mean, I don't understand. Who's doing the background checks?
Well, there are some of the towns that they're proposing to go to. There are proposals in place in some towns to start running background checks on these guys ahead of time.
Why are the towns allowing this? You know.
Well, it's all about the whole diversity thing. If you don't allow it, it's identity politics. You're a bigot. And of course, what's every town afraid of? We're going to be sued by the ACLU, right? You don't think one of these guys is going to run to the ACLU and say you're taking away my First Amendment?
Let me explain where this came from so we can get a better
hearing. I'd love to know. Susan, I would love to know the history. I have not a clue. Hold on. Let me. This is story time with Susan Price. Go ahead, Susan.
Drag Queen Story Hour was created by Michelle T. and Radar Productions in San Francisco. Radar Productions is a Bay Area queer literary arts organization creating and supporting a community of queer artists through commissioning, developing, and presenting groundbreaking literary work. So we already have seen, even with Hollywood, all the craziness coming out with ties into Epstein and all the satanic stuff going on, and there's a whole community, and they've pushed it, and they've and trust me on this, they've been allowed to push it through the Democratic cities where there's a lot of gay, alleged gay mayors and senators and these people, and they're behind it. It's the globalist plan. That's exactly what it is. You won't find this in the more conservative areas, as you will those that are more bent toward the left.
They're putting out there this is harmless, that this is, it's, you know, again, back to making the kids into, you know, sensitivity training classes of some sort. You don't buy that, Susan, huh?
No. Sensitivity. We, as parents and grandparents, like I said, we warn our children. We teach them to have healthy boundaries. This is not healthy. This is a form of child abuse. And God knows what else.
Is it a form of child abuse, you think?
Yes, it is. Why are we, and some of these readers are talking about sexual things. I didn't even talk to my 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old about sex.
You mean, hold on, they're talking to, wait, let me clarify what you just said, please. Are you saying that when they read the books and these fairy time tale drag queen people, that they're reading, are they the ones that are reading sexual things to the kids?
Yes, some of them are. And it involves animals and produce as well.
You're talking about bestiality and things like that?
Yep, there's some very illicit stuff out there.
Now, Susan, how do you know that?
Because I've done the research. I've seen it. I mean, it's...
I mean, that sounds pretty out there, Susan, but what public library, how would anybody allow that?
Well, this whole concept seems pretty out there. 10 years ago, if you would have said, this is what's going to happen, like you said in your opening, this is only a four-year-old project as well, and it started under the Obama administration during those times.
Well, yeah, you referenced that a couple of times now, but actually, I agree more that I think with Sid when he said, Susan, this has been coming on for, I think, 30 years. I think the left has had this mark for a long time. Okay, right. You agree with that. All right.
But that was the license it allowed because of how much he pushed and promoted those communities.
Everything came out in the open. Your point is taken. Yeah. Everything came out in the open. Yeah, nothing else was hidden, really. Yeah. The story.
And then listen, Malcolm, just for the record, I have gay friends too, but they're not at my house or my children's home trying to have my grandkids sit on their laps and do all kinds of crazy things. They're respectable people. I don't run around the street screaming, I'm straight, I'm straight, I'm straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, just they're trying to redefine what's normal and set new laws in their way of living and make it look like it's normal. And it's not.
Wow. That is really well said here. As Susan says there, they're really at the point of trying to make all of this look normal. I want you to think about that a moment, people, and what she puts out there. Is that the case, do you think, that they are trying to make? Because you really begin to scratch your head and wonder, what's really up with all this? I mean, where's this go next? I mean, and is that the goal, that they just want people to, this becomes normal behavior? And, I mean, we're almost getting to a breaking point now. I think we're probably there already, or we may have gone past the breaking point, people. I don't know. There is an interesting history on all of this, though, where this is coming from. But I think the bigger question you have to ask yourself is, what happens next?
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
So, friends, it's a behavior that's been building for decades now. This didn't happen overnight, but what's happened is now there's a part of this country that has pushed the envelope probably too far. Now, the problem is when you start to push back, they begin to label you. They label you, again, a bigot or a racist or something. They bigot you. Whatever your point is, you know, diversity of opinion is a beautiful thing. In fact, I've been talking about that. I love diversity of opinion. I love the fact that your opinion is different than my opinion. I love the fact that we can celebrate that in America. I love the fact that we can all have a different lifestyle. I really think that's our beauty here in this nation. There are limits to where this goes, though. When they continue to push the envelope the way they're pushing, at some point, you just have to yell uncle, people. You just have to say, you know what? You've gone too far. And so the question you have to ask yourself today is, have they gone too far? And are they going too far, people? And that's something we need to ask ourselves, all of us. What is acceptable behavior? And are we willing to share that behavior with our children and or our grandchildren or our friends' children? Does it matter? Is this what life is going to be like? And again, if you went to sleep and you came back 20 years, I always love that scenario. It always appeals to me because it tells you where are we really headed as a nation? Where are we really headed as a people? So if we all went to sleep and we came back 20 years from now or 50 years from now, what would we be looking at? Think about it in those terms a moment. What kind of a nation, what kind of a lifestyle do we want? What's acceptable? How far do we push back? And that's the questions I need you to ask yourself today. Well, when it comes to this whole drag queen story, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Again, as I say, there are real people who are having kids today that no longer want to identify whether their kids are a boy or a girl. Now, this is hard to imagine. So their kid has gone to live in some sort of a purgatory state of Genderville, is guess what I would say. I don't know how long they live there, but can you imagine growing up as a kid and you had to go to school and you didn't know what the hell you was, a boy, a girl, or a shimmit, or a it, or a fit, or a shim fit, or a mit it? I mean, what the hell are you at that point? I mean, are you pink, blue, purple, orange? I mean, the traditional colors of pink and blue, I mean, that's going to be sacrilegious. You won't be able to use any of that stuff anymore. Susan, I mean, come on. We're on with Susan Price, Sid Bowditch. You know, listen, we've had a couple of laughs. We've shared a lot of information. But down to the core of this conversation, I think we all understand and we should be scared of what's really going on. And Susan, you always tend to be somewhat optimistic at the end of the day. I'm not sure I'm optimistic as you are that things are going to come out. You always say, as long as I know you, you say, well, don't, things are going to change. I don't know, Susan. I'm not seeing that.
Listen, we've just been riding the wave of the remnants of the old Obama administration. And Trump is getting rid. He's eradicating all that foul stuff. And when we bring out that Obama really was the Manchurian candidate, we'll erase him as president. So that would be great.
Susan,
and a lot of the stuff
will
go away.
You're beginning to sound like an anti-Obama person, are you?
A little bit, yeah. And I met him in person.
But you are beginning to sound like an anti. And Sid, are you an anti-Obama guy as well?
Are you kidding? From day one. He's done more to hurt this country than any president in existence.
Well, let me put it this way, Sid. When the castle is on fire, when the castle is burning, when the republic is being targeted in the way that it is, when you've had probably three or four of the lamest administrations in history in the republic, sequential after one after the other, and you're at the point of the country and you then, you know, get to the point of mercy back in 2015, it's not a far stretch then, Sid, as to why a Donald J. Trump would come out of nowhere and be elected to high office. It surprised everybody, but makes some sense, doesn't it?
It certainly does, Malcolm. And I'll tell you, you know, I'll boil this down to really just not to make it simplistic, but I'm going to boil this down to one thing: morality. That this country, and you know, I quite often go down this road, but it ties into this as well, is that we have become so immoral as a country, and the left has taken us down this road of distinct immorality. This planned elimination of God in our society, and our morality is tied right to the good Lord. And that is what they've done. So when every time they break a barrier, then they say, okay, so now let's go a little further and let's see how far we can stretch it further. We broke that barrier. Now let's keep going to the next one. And this is what they do. Yeah. And it's all about morality.
And that's a great point, buddy. And I've been talking about the same, you know, that's what I preach about here all the time. But listen, Sid, you're right. It is the morality is at the core of this fight. But this is the fight of a lifetime right now. And it's all kind of at a tinderbox. We're at a tipping point. We feel like we're on the edge of a cliff somewhere. And we're at the point of trying to recapture our balance. We're about to tip over the edge. Do you feel that way, Sid?
Well, yes, you like you said, the castle's on fire. Well, the castle has been on fire since the 20s. It has really begun to burn since the 60s and 70s. And since then, it's gotten larger and larger, and you know, it's ablaze now. Thank God we have President Trump. And that's exactly who we should thank is God, because there's no question divine intervention.
Well, that's probably why a lot of evangelicals have voted for Trump, Sid. Why the whole evangelical crowd? Yeah, I mean, they've seen the writing on the wall. I love your quick version of history there. I really applaud what you say there. Well, I mean, he says, well, Malcolm, come on. This has been coming on since the 20s, and then the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and then blah, 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 and here we are today. And then I mentioned, yeah, well, it's all on fire. What's really going on? So let's talk about how we bring values back. Let's talk about this a moment now. I think everybody can agree that we've got some real problems here. And you can see if we are ablaze, as we just put out there, and we are going down this road here, because we're on a road right now, if we don't turn around. Now, I know, Susan, we'll come to you in a moment. I know you have far more optimism at times, and I love that about you. But I also think sometimes you live in a fairy tale land, honestly, that I don't know. I love you, but I think sometimes you you have far more optimism than I think is in a world of reality that we're in. I don't think President Trump was, he's only one man. I don't think Trump and Obama are the problem specifically. I think the culture and the people and the indoctrination of the political operatives, and of course this massive deep state we've created over many, many decades, I think there's the bigger problem right there. One man isn't going to take us down or change us up, but I mean, it's a whole culture here that's impacted here. And it's a lifestyle, and that we're changing here. So Sid, how do we recapture, Sid, beyond the usual go to church, believe in God, brush your teeth, put on clean underwear, all the stuff our mother told us, Sid? I mean, come on. I'm not talking about that stuff. That's obvious. Put on clean underwear. Make sure you keep your nose clean. Brush your teeth in the morning. Brush it in the afternoon, in the evening, Malcolm. Be a good boy. Shut your mouth. Blah, 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 blah. But how do we really recapture this thing, Sid? How are we going to do it?
Well, Malcolm, you know, this country is founded on Judeo-Christian values, okay? We have to get back to our Christian values as a country. And I don't, you know, I know you're asking me for something different, but I don't see any other way to it, because that's what we are founded on.
But are we going to force God on everybody else, Sid, or how are we going to do that? I don't understand. Do we force God on everybody?
No, and that's the problem. That is the problem. Now, granted, there's been, you know, enormous increase in people believing in God again. We have
is there Sid? Is there Sid?
Yes, there is.
Tell me. I don't know. Tell me.
Well, for instance, 42% of evangelicals sat home in 2016. And I will tell you, in 2020, that percentage will probably be maybe 20%, because these people see what's going on.
Now, 42%, you're saying the last one sat home. That means almost 60%, 58% were engaged in the process last time. Yes, Sid?
Correct.
All right. Now you're saying predictions and projections are, you're saying that it could potentially be, is this just a gut feeling, or do you have proof or evidence that says almost 80% of evangelicals, do you?
I have proof. I know for a fact, because it's happening here in Florida, and I know it's happening all over the country. There is a distinct push in our churches to involve politics like never.
Yep, because, I agree.
Because our values tie into our political policies, okay? And I know for a fact there are large and many organizations across the country.
Are you saying the priest or the pastor is up there speaking politics and religion all at once, Sid?
Exactly. That's what's beginning to happen, because people recognize that if we don't get back to this, we're doomed.
I just want to let you know that it was the Amish people showed up in record numbers also to vote, besides the evangelicals and the pastors. So I follow all this stuff down. This next election is just, it's going to be the telltale all, because there is a plan right now being devised among millions of Americans. All you got to do is turn the TV on when there's a Trump rally. I've been to two, and in fact, I was the VIP at one of them, and I will tell you, the numbers don't lie, and the people that love Trump Some are still in the shadows, but there's massive numbers. His numbers are huge. So I will tell you from my fairy tale land, that's really the real land, this is what I eat, breathe, think, and do all day.
Susan, do you think I could go to a rally with you? I've never been to one. I've never been to one, you know?
Well, and I suppose we could make
let me
that
ask
happen.
You, let me take it one step further now, sister. Hold on. Do you think you could get me into a Trump rally as a VIP sitting near you? And let me go even further than that. Could you see me on camera, Susan, with you behind Trump? Could you see me, Mr. Loud there? Wow.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of power, but I could put a word in for you, a good word.
So what she's saying, let me translate that, people, that Malcolm, that would take an act of Congress to do that. I don't have that much power.
Well, I suppose I could hook it up with the people I know, but I know what I'm capable of. I don't know what they're capable of. So
you know,
I can't answer to that.
I've got to say to you that the one thing, Sid, I want to talk to Sid a moment here. Sid, now it's our turn. Sid, one of the things I love about Susan is that she's so strong, but as a lady, she can kick you right in the backside and you don't even feel like you've been kicked. You know,
Sid? I noticed that.
You noticed that? I just love her for that. Am I right or wrong?
Well, thank you. My son used to call me General Moms, and he'd say, Mom, you can get somebody, you're so unassuming. You get them in a corner and you get them strangled, and they don't even know it until they're dying.
That's what I love about you, Susan. I love it about you, man. Let me put it this way. If I'm going into battle, I will certainly have a Susan Price on my side. Let me put it that way, you know?
Yeah, if I were you, I'd be looking for me.
No, I can't top that, people, at all. I mean, that's great. All right, so I like what you both put out there, and I want to talk next here. Back to the point of the drag queens in the libraries. What I want to ask you is this. How do we stop this behavior from happening specifically? How can we change this so it is not acceptable behavior, Sid?
Well, first of all, you know, a program like this, like you're doing, you know how many people aren't even aware of this until this conversation? And that's the great thing about what you're doing. And, you know, and you giving us the platform you give us to write and make people aware of these certain things that are going on. So that's the first thing, is awareness. I mean, millions of people have no idea this is happening. So the first thing is awareness. And then what's happening is, like I said to you, there are fact cities across the country where it's happening, that is, people are finding out about this, and people who are in politics or in power in a particular town and city saying, well, that's not going to happen here. So they talk to their constituents and they start to work together to say, listen, let's create a policy that we don't allow this to come into our town or city.
Wow.
So,
well said. Well said. Susan, how do we do it? How do we stop that from happening?
I agree. You have to raise the level of awareness. Number one, it all starts at home, and then your churches and communities and groups and petitions and the news channels. You call the news channels up and you say, hey, they're always looking for a good story. And you say, I'm concerned. They will be there to film it. And then you get your friends in there and you know, you protest. So whatever type of, you know, socially accepted protests, because we don't all want to be hauled off to jail. We still got other things to fight over. So we want to protest and rise up against. But first we have to raise our awareness and then our voices.
Well, I do that every day here. And as Sid says, we do that on America Out Loud every day, 365 days a year, people. We are about getting a message out of truth, hope, and love for all. This is interesting. You're listening, first of all, to the voices there of Susan Price and Sid Bowditch. They are both tremendous talents, weekly columnists and commentators here on the platform on America Out Loud. It's kind of what makes America Out Loud a unique, vibrant place, is that awareness that Sid just talks about, is getting the awareness out and driving the message out there. You know, to bring forth a conversation of equality and a conversation of liberty for all, right, as we say, isn't that what we say here, people? And to advance the conversation, and as I say all the time on the network, to advance humanity. You know, I don't want you to think that we're talking out of both sides of our mouth when I say that. That's not at all what I want you to come away from. You know, I say to you all the time to invite your Democrat friends in, invite your left friends, left of center, your moderates in. We all have people we love that have a different sort of ideology or different thought process or what have you. And I tell you to invite them in so they can hear this. But it really is about a diversity of opinion. And I'm happy to talk about any of these issues, but there are lines that one crosses when we talk about drag queens at the public library. Have they gone too far? Where's the silly farm? How far off? How many miles down the road is the silly farm, please? Please let me know that. I would like to exit before I get to the silly farm exit. You know, does that make sense? You know, visualize yourself driving down the highway, and the next many exits are all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't want to get off the exit where the silly farm is. I want to get off just prior, please. I want to fix the program. Yeah, I guess so. Remember that song that Pat Benatar used to sing? I think it was her. If I could turn back time, maybe it wasn't her. I don't know who the hell it was. I can never remember an artist or an author. But anyways, if I could turn back time, that wasn't her, was it? I don't know. Anyways, if I could turn back time, you can't turn back time, people. We have to move forward, right? It's all about moving forward. And so there are you got to question your liberty, question your values, question where we're at. And again, I asked Sid and Susan, how do we change this? Well, it changes when you get involved in the process. For too long, for too many days, for too many have stayed on the sideline. And just like any good baseball or football game, people, the sidelines will not get you in the game, and it will not allow you to score. In fact, it will not allow you to make a difference in the game. So the only way to make an impact in this game called life is to get involved in the game. If you're on the sidelines, then you're nothing. You're not impacting anything, and it doesn't really matter. The end result will never be anything that you're part of. I think when you think about it in those terms, that should fire you all up and hopefully get everybody involved to understand the consequences of the game. So let's win the game. Let's make the score happen. Let's win the game. The game of life, clearly, in the game of this nation. Thank you again for being part of the journey here. It's time, friends, to get involved and get loud.